Welcome to episode 2 of Pressing Topics for Tuesday, May 14th, 2019. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by Malcolm Peralti. See that? I've already learned something already. I got your name right in the first try today, buddy.
Good job.
This is the second episode. This show is all about pressing topics in the WordPress community and maybe just some articles that caught our eye. And this is just sort of a recap of some of the things we've discovered today. And we'll start off with a very comprehensive, and comprehensive being the key word, post. It's actually a guest post by Danny Cooper on WP Tavern today called "The Most Common WordPress Theme Development Mistakes and How to Fix Them." And Danny Cooper is on the WordPress.org theme review team, and he's reviewed a number of themes. So who more qualified to write an article like this than Danny Cooper? And so he goes through and he lists, again, some of the most common mistakes that are made, such as uploading your theme to the directory, which, by the way, he says that most themes take up to about, on average, 2 months to get to the front of the queue to get their initial review. So, you know, you want to use the theme check plugin, and you want to make sure that you read the theme handbook that's out there and the requirements, and trying to get those right on the first try. Because if your theme ends up getting bumped down for not hitting certain requirements or doesn't pass the theme check, who knows how long it could be before somebody gets around to reviewing your theme. Now, he also talks about naming issues, unescaped output, which is security issues are involved there, untranslatable text, incorrectly enqueuing resources, plugin territory functionality, not prefixing, which, by the way, he mentions that namespacing in PHP is a better way to achieve the same effect. He also notes that, however, some users are still using older versions of PHP 5.2, which don't support that feature, but the most recent version of WordPress bumps up the minimum PHP version to where here in the near future, developers should be able to use namespacing in PHP without worrying about breaking too many websites. So that's good. And then he also talks about licensing issues, mistakes with theme developers on their screenshots. There shouldn't be any fancy doodads or Photoshop work going on. It should be just a screenshot of what the theme looks like when it's in use. Talks about using coding standards. And pretty much that's it. I mean, it's a very comprehensive post. If you're thinking about uploading a theme to the WordPress theme directory, definitely give this thing a read and follow through the checklist before you upload the theme to the WordPress.org theme directory. And the smoother you make it for them, the smoother it will be for you.
Yeah, I've wanted to do this for a long time. I've created themes before, but this was like, you know, back in the old days, the pre-2.0 of WordPress. And I read through this entire thing and just ate it up. And it's amazing the level of detail in it. And, you know, kind of goes back to some discussions we had yesterday where kind of that barrier to entry is kind of, you know, the quality of code is kind of that bar has been raised and raised and raised over time, which is good, like it should be. But it's a little bit intimidating as a developer reading over this and going, man, there's a lot of stuff to do. I might as well just throw this on ThemeForest and then I don't have to go through this.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely feel that sentiment, like, you know, oh, why bother? Just put this on GitHub, or at the very least, put it on GitHub and submit it to WordPress.org. So at least if people want it now, they can just get it from GitHub until it goes through the review process and it's actually, you know, on the .org repository. But yeah, there's a reason why the theme reviewers and these standards and everything's been put into place. I mean, you've been around the WordPress scene almost as long as I have, and you remember the days of looking through the WordPress scene directory and just it's basically just a header, an image, or maybe a widget, a sidebar. Things were bland, not very many colors. The designs really just it wasn't very inspiring. There weren't very many great options to choose from on the directory. But if you go there today, there's a wide variety of different types of themes, and some of the themes look very well done that are available for free on the theme directory.
Yeah, for sure. It's amazing how far we've come, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, as we continue to kind of integrate Gutenberg, what that will do to themes, because people will kind of include their own CSS for like the built-in blocks as well as custom blocks and things like that. It's going to be really interesting to watch that evolve over time. And I'll be interested to see what kind of standards they add to the list or requirements going forward because of that.
Yeah. Oh boy, Gutenberg compatible themes where they come with like black templates and all that stuff. Yeah, that'll be cool. So an article that you came across talks about, this is on CodeNWP.com, the 10 best countries to outsource software development to based on data. And I believe this list was made in no particular order, but some of the countries that were listed on here, I could have guessed.
Yeah, right.
The last one, number 10, I wouldn't have guessed. I don't know why. And that's actually the country you live in. But tell us your takeaways from this article. And by the way, you run Press Titan, a WordPress agency. Can you share any experiences you've had or have you dealt with outsourcing before?
Yeah, of course. I mean, throughout my entire career, I have. And I've also worked for agencies like 10UP who are multinational, right? Like I worked on teams where there's people in South Africa and Germany and the Philippines, everywhere. So, you know, when I look at this post, it definitely echoes what I've experienced. I will say, though, that best is kind of subjective, right? They didn't say cheapest, but a lot of these countries you'll find are kind of on the cheaper side. The development costs are a lot lower, right? For example, India is currently, it's a lot cheaper to get a full-time software developer in India than it is kind of in the States. And I think that's part of the reason that Canada made the cut is not because we're a cheap place to invest if you want software developers, but in terms of like quality of education and things like that, we got that going for us. And then also you have the power of the US dollar being able to get kind of a 30% discount on software developers up here with a very similar level of education. So nothing in this list really surprised me. I will say that it doesn't really take into consideration some of the cultural aspects of hiring developers from these different places. I've had issues before in kind of misunderstandings with people in kind of Southeast Asia and just kind of trying to make sure that you see eye to eye with your developer so that you can actually execute on your vision. But overall, I think this is a really helpful
list. Seeing eye to eye with your developer from halfway across the world.
Hey, man, when you're managing a project, that's how that works, right? Like, we're so lucky to live in a world where, you know, the world has shrunk to the point where I can, you know, jump on a hangout like this with someone anywhere in the world.
Yeah. And did you end up having to stay up late or get up early to deal with the time zones?
Always. So at some points we had to run two scrum meetings, so two stand-ups every day because we had people, like we had a group of people in kind of North and South America, and then we also had a group of people kind of in India, South Africa, Germany, and things like that. So it didn't always work to have everyone on the same call. Like having someone from California and someone from India on the same call was very difficult.
Yeah, and something that this list mentioned is that Canada was the most expensive place on this list, with an average software developer earning $62,266 CAD a year, which translates to about $47,700 in the U.S. So that's pretty expensive. And the other thing I learned on this list is that India is churning out millions of STEM students, graduating STEM students in math and science.
Yeah, and that doesn't surprise me. I mean, they know that with their population, they really have to kind of focus on the global opportunities that exist. And what better way to do that than to get them to go through technology training? And you know, yeah, none of this surprises me at all. And I will say some of the values or some of the financials that they put on this, I would love to see more about where their data comes from. They use things like PayScale, which is not, in my opinion, truly representative of salaries in different places. I mean, for example, the Canadian figures. Living in Canada, I can tell you right now that a developer for like $48,000 is pretty kind of early to mid tier. I mean, they're not your full stack, you know, 10 years experience kind of developer. They're also not living in one of the major cities where there are the high quality or high value universities or colleges. So yeah, it's just something to keep in mind with these figures.
All right. And I know maybe our listeners are out there saying, well, what is the list? What are the 10 countries listed? So I'll tell you, India, Ukraine, China, Poland, the Philippines, Romania, Brazil, Taiwan, Egypt, and your home away from home, actually your home, Canada.
Yeah.
So there you have it. So before we wrap it up here, any one or two tips that you could provide for anyone out there looking to possibly outsource some work?
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoy Codable. I think the quality of the developers that they've been letting through onto their network of available developers for WordPress development is only getting better and better over time. I will say that their comprehension and understanding of the language that you use is probably what I would consider the most important part. And don't forget, a developer that might seem inexpensive might not be if you think about the hours of development required, right? A developer that takes, 60 hours at $10 an hour is more expensive than a developer that, wants $50 an hour but only takes 3 hours to do something. So kind of make sure you keep that in mind when you're getting development done, because I've been burned by that before, thinking I'm getting a deal and it didn't end up being one.
So tell us a little bit about 4 reasons why somebody should choose WordPress for their e-commerce site.
Yeah, so this is a post on Torque Mag, and it kind of walks through, basically it's like a, isn't WordPress great kind of post, right? It walks through the fact that WordPress is highly scalable, which people will debate endlessly. It has rock solid security. Again, people will debate that endlessly. It allows you to kind of get away from that hosted environment like Shopify and things like that, so you can really customize things to meet whatever functionality or features you need. And WordPress itself is, free to download and use. Web hosting can be had for fairly inexpensive amount of money. And so you're not really locked into kind of that same monthly fee as a lot of the hosted e-commerce solutions. And I've built a lot of e-commerce sites before, and I've actually done a couple of Shopify sites. And, I have to agree, WordPress in a lot of ways has become an amazing platform for e-commerce. I will say WooCommerce, as even though it's the flagship e-commerce solution for WordPress, can be very heavy. I think people assume that you need WooCommerce for everything e-commerce in WordPress, and that isn't necessarily the case at all. So it's, if you have a hammer, everything turns to a nail kind of situation, and you don't need to do that. There's lots of other ways to kind of integrate e-commerce into WordPress. So really consider your needs before installing WooCommerce, because it's heavy. But overall, it's a really great post to kind of get people who maybe are on the fence or questioning whether or not WordPress is right for them to give it a second look.
I think we still have WP e-commerce out there somewhere. I think they're chugging along doing their thing. And then a company that's recently made huge plays into the WordPress ecosystem is BigCommerce.
Yeah, so BigCommerce is kind of strange to me because it's a software as a service, right? It's don't really own all of your data on your own servers, but it allows you to kind of have a little bit more security and a little bit more speed. So again, you kind of have to decide what's most important to you.
And I think their plugin is more of like a connector type plugin to their service.
Yep.
And I don't know, have you had a chance to mess around or play with the dedicated WooCommerce hosting by Liquid Web?
I have not yet. And I think that's really interesting. We're seeing a lot of that happen. ServeBolt, I think, as well, is setting up like serverless WooCommerce setups. I don't know how they're doing it, but they're right. Because you think serverless and you think not dynamic, right? And so the fact that they're figuring out how to do shopping cart experiences with WooCommerce on this kind of environment is super cool because it's super fast. I know Liquid Web is doing some like customized optimizations as well to WooCommerce to make it really fast. And we've at Press Titan, we try to do it as well, and we still find it's the slowest part of most sites that are e-commerce sites that we work with. So I'm always interested to read more about how they're figuring out how to speed up WooCommerce.
Which I think is interesting because you have all these web hosts and you can install WordPress on them just fine. You can install WooCommerce on there just fine because it's a plugin. But here you have Liquid Web, where they actually they're dedicated to squeezing every little bit and optimizing every little bit of WooCommerce that they can and providing a seamless experience for customers. And that's one of their verticals that they're providing. I just think that's kind of neat.
It's really smart, right? Because if you want to compete against like the Shopify's of the world, that's what you got to do for your customers, right? Because
I think of WooCommerce, I think of complicated. And then I think of all the data, customer data, things you got to protect, GDPR, and then the different levels of service or PCI compliance, I think is what it is you got to worry about. And it'd be nice if a service could take care of all of that for you, and you just manage your clients and your customers and your sales and your inventory, and you don't have to worry about that stuff.
For sure. And I'm very happy to see that growing as kind of a sector of WordPress.
And for those out there who are running Jetpack, they recently came out with a major update, 7.3, a few days ago. Today, they published a minor release, 7.3.1. This includes a couple of enhancements to various modules within the plugin, quite a few bug fixes as well. So make sure you update to 7.3.1 if you're running Jetpack. And last but not least today on the show, and this one will probably generate some this is a pressing topic, but it is a proposal to modify the plugin guidelines. And anytime we the plugin guidelines are brought up about changing them, it always generates an enormous amount of discussion, because if you've read the guidelines, there's room for interpretations, there's room for errors, there's a lot of different gray areas. So this post by Mika Epstein, who is one of the gatekeepers for the WordPress plugin directory, has published this post on the makewordpress.org plugin site that talks about why they're making these changes. And she says that in working with ESL developers, or English as a second language, it was mentioned that a number of confusion points were due to the semantics of translations. So they've made a number of grammatical clarifications and sentence tightenings. And she says that the initial purpose is was not to eliminate loopholes, but to make it more clear to someone who is not a native English speaker that certain things are not okay. And in addition to this proposal, they've also rewritten guideline 11, which is don't spam the admin dashboard. So here are the couple changes that have been proposed. The first is that admin messages and advertisements must be limited to one per common page. Messages must only be shown to people who can action on them. For example, don't show install X to a user who can't install anything. That seems like common sense, but that's not what happens, you know, in WordPress. All messages must be permanently dismissible by an action on a page, such as clicking a dismiss button or an X to close. Filters are insufficient, as not all users are capable of implementing them. I fully agree with that. No repeatable messages. If a user has been asked to try this add-on and said no, their choice must be respected. Exceptions will be granted for reminders to complete setup or if they action in a way that would require that add-on. And last but not least, all advertisement type messages have to directly relate to the developer or the plugin. Ads for other things a developer happens to like aren't permitted. And they also go over what the proposal will not cover, and they specifically mention injecting in the search results. And they give a summary, and they're encouraging everybody to comment on the proposal and be part of the solution. And within a few weeks' time, I believe, the proposal will either be reproposed or there'll be changes or it will be implemented. But it's nice to see. I'm pretty much fully in agreement with all those changes that that have been proposed.
When I read it, my first thought was, wait, all this stuff doesn't already exist as requirements? Like, wait a second, how have we gone this far without that being a requirement? I will say I would hope that in this effort to make things more clear, that they continue to work on that even with these changes, right? Saying that there has to be, you know, permanently dismissible by an action on a page, such as, like, for example, basically clicking on a dismiss button or an X close, that to me is not as clear as it should be. It really should be like, which only includes things like clicking on a button that says close this or an X to close, like, and it has to be, and it can be more detail, right? Like it has to be like directly related to this box and things like that, because I don't know about you, but I've seen some messages that are kind of confusing in terms of dismissing some of these strange quasi advertisements or information boxes on the WordPress admin. So I can't believe this stuff doesn't exist already in the list of requirements. And I hope that they make it even more clear as they go forward.
The WordPress back end, really just a NASCAR car with all those advertisements. But I'll tell you one thing. Quote, Mika says, our understanding is that a cluttered and unmanageable dashboard upsets users, making it harder for them to do what they want. This behavior, if enacted by all plugins, could cause WordPress irreparable harm, end quote. And I mentioned this on Twitter and I believe on WordPress Weekly a few weeks ago, but sometimes it feels like all of the plugin authors out there are in a war. You know, they're in a war for space on the WordPress
back
end, and us, the users, end up being the casualty of this war.
Well, but here's the thing, right? If you have already proven that you're interested in something that I am doing, I feel like there's that opportunity for conversion, right? All of these people want to make a business out of this. You have covered over your career hundreds of articles of developers who, you know, are getting like $20 every 6 months for donations for their hard work on a plugin.
Well, donations aren't going to cut it. We know,
right? That. Like, so they're like, well, if I can get you to install all these other things or upgrade to the premium version or, you know, go through this affiliate link to buy this amazing plugin, like maybe I can make ends meet so that I can continue to develop this cool tool for you. I think that, you know, the Wild West approach of letting all of these developers do whatever the heck they want, definitely has to go. But I think that in replacement of that, the community definitely has to think of how we can help struggling developers either monetize or you know, create opportunities for them to continue doing this, because WordPress shouldn't always be about the person that has the privilege to be able to spend their free time on this.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, if you install 20 to 30 plugins and you leave it go for about a month, generally what you're going to see in the next time you log into the WordPress backend is a giant mess. So, I mean, how do we solve that issue of giving developers and providing them opportunities for upsell or for advertising or paid upgrades without it being a mess for everybody?
Yeah, it makes me wonder if
you come up with some. I mean, here are the guidelines. You're trying to set up some standards for how developers can do that. And we'll have to see if these convert or if these are allow enough space, to allow developers to use them. But I don't know, man. It seems like a very complex issue of allowing this and blocking that. How do we balance it all?
Yeah, I mean, my suggestion would be like an actions panel in the dashboard in the WordPress admin. So you know how you can temporarily like trash posts, pages, and other things in WordPress, and then you can go to the trash and you can restore them or see them again or act on those items. We almost need like a way to allow these developers to put almost like to trash their messages, right? Put them in a spot where I can go and review them again if I so choose, but to get them off of my dashboard right away when I click no.
Yeah, WordPress, and we've talked about this. I've mentioned it on the show back when, because this issue has come up time and time again. And almost every week you see somebody posting an image on Twitter of the dashboard and how there's 30 different messages. Some of them are error. Some of them are upsell. Some of them are, hey, why don't you upgrade? You know, it's been 3 weeks since I've seen you. Why don't you come over and give me some more money? But one thing WordPress needs, and I believe there might be a couple of tickets in track related to this, but so far I haven't seen too much in the way of discussion on it, is some sort of notification manager. And these messages are there for developers to use. And if they use them for the right purpose, it's fine. But when you use them, when I see a green or red message, I think, oh, no danger. But really, it's just telling me, hey, why don't you upgrade to something? It's irresponsible, and that's not the way they should be used. But yet, if you're a developer, you know that's going to be seen by the user. That's going to get their attention. So I guess why not do it?
Yeah, like I said, some kind of separate actions page. And then on the main dashboard, right, you know, with the boxes to show us like WordPress news and upcoming events, you have another one that shows the latest things in your actions panel. And just that way we have that kind of consistency of use. We have that separation. The worst thing, the thing that I dislike the most, is when I go to like, you know, the themes page or the plugins page or some page where I'm actually trying to do some real work on a WordPress site, and I have like 15 notices that I have to like dismiss and cancel and close, and like three or four that don't end up closing or working. So,
yeah, you just dismiss them all, but one of them was important, but you didn't read it because you thought it was in everything.
Yeah, that's the worst too. And then you have no way of getting it back. You have no way of finding out which.
That's right.
What? Who did that or why?
Wait! I actually want to see that notice.
Oh, it's gone forever.
Yeah. It's gone until a month later.
Right. That's not ideal.
Yep. Indeed. Indeed. So that's going to do it for today's edition of Pressing Topics. You can find show notes and links to all the stories we've mentioned today on WPTavern.com. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can at Jeffro, JeffR0. And Malcolm?
Yeah, if you want to find me, I'm Find Purpose.
And you could find him, and if you're interested in some WordPress help, Press Titan, correct?
That's correct. PressTitan.com.
There we go. There you have it. So until tomorrow, everybody, enjoy the rest of your evening. Bye-bye.
Night.